Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You all probably know this parable of the vineyard. We, in fact, in our adult class studied this a couple of weeks ago. And so I think you should have just gone to class and I could have skipped the whole sermon. But I'll hold forth a little this morning. It's interesting, as I thought about this particular text, I thought of the care that the owner took when putting the vineyard together. If you read that text and kind of combine its source, probably was that Isaiah story, you have this owner who comes and he clears the land and he pulls out the furrows and plants the vines, plants a hedge around the whole vineyard, and then builds a wall around it, and then puts up a watchtower. Now, all of that effort was to keep predators, people and other four-legged animals, away from the vines. You want to build a wall around it, keep it holy, keep it safe, and make sure you get your fruit and that those pesky animals don't come in and eat it uninvited. As a matter of fact, as I was getting ready for this sermon, I looked up a website about viticulture. And on that particular site was an FAQ about, so you want to grow grapes, right? And it's the kind of thing that sort of is to discourage you from getting into the business, because there's all these common mistakes that people make. And one of the most common mistakes that people make is that they don't create a barrier between their grapes and those horrible, awful, vicious, conniving deer who really like grapes, as do almost every creature. So the owner is careful to make sure that all of the exterior threats will be kept at bay. But the owner forgot one little thing. In this particular case, the enemy of the vines did not come from outside. The watchtower was of no use. The walls were of no use. The hedge, not helpful, because the threat turned out to already be in the vineyard. It was the tenants. It was the very people that the owner had chosen to tend the vines that caused the problem. Now, in these days, of course, we would do a proper internet background search, check everyone's records, make sure they weren't inveterate grape stealers, or we'd call our lawyer. But in those days, that owner of the vineyard placed the trust in those who were in the vineyard. Now, one of the traditional interpretations of this is that the first to come were the Jews and the second to come were the Gentiles and yada, yada, yada. Set all of that aside just for this morning. I think this story is not about so much the owner or the tenants. I think this is a story about fruit. What is it? Why does the owner establish the vineyard? This is one of those sermons where you get to actually say something instead of go, okay, what does the owner of the vineyard want out of the vineyard? Grapes. What does he want the grapes for? Good choice. He wants to do something with the grapes. So right off the bat, you know that the fruit must be important because that's the whole purpose of making the vineyard. Now, what is it that the tenants are supposed to do with the fruit? They keep a share, right? But the owner's supposed to get some. All they got to do is do what they were asked to do with the fruit. If there was no harvest that year, if there was no fruit born, would there have been a parable? No. So the fruit is really critical. to how we understand the story. What the owner of the vineyard requires is that the fruit be harvested and shared. The problem comes when the tenants keep the fruit for themselves. Now, in the Isaiah text, the problem is fruit also. In that text, God has let out a vineyard, and it's actually the people who are the fruit. But the fruit didn't turn out. It turned out to be wild grapes, right? Have you ever had a wild grape? Lord of Goshen. You eat a wild grape, and the front of your face sucks all the way through to the back. They can be really sour. Have you ever eaten a truly ripe wine grape? Exactly the opposite effect. They are so sweet and so full of sugar. They're not like these lovely things. By the way, these are really good grapes, and I plan to enjoy them throughout the service. If you'd like to share, help yourself. They're not like this, right? They're so sweet that you can't really eat them. That's what they're supposed to be sharing, is the fruit. So if fruit is the purpose of the story, and the story is about the kingdom of God, and God's fruit, it says, remember what the problem was in Isaiah? They didn't share the fruit, and it says, "For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the people of Judah are his pleasant planting." He expected what? Oh, you didn't listen. Justice. That's the fruit. He expected justice, but saw bloodshed. Righteousness, but heard a cry. So if the fruit of the vineyard is justice and mercy and grace, and we keep it for ourselves, then we don't allow the fruit to do its work. Now, what's really amazing, if you want to take this metaphor even a little bit further, is you didn't even make the fruit. Who made the fruit? God did, right? So that at least in good Lutheran theology, all of that grace and mercy and joy and peace and all that you have and all that you are is a gift from God. Why is it so hard for you to give it away? Wasn't even yours to begin with. Why do we hang on to it so tightly? Why do we sometimes even build fences and hedges around our grace and our hope and our peace and our traditions and our God's love? And build even watchtowers. You ever seen the old churches? The old cathedrals? You built watchtowers to keep the enemies out. The purpose of the fruit is to be shared, to be given away. What it means to be good tenants is not to make sure that you keep all the fruit and make the best wine and make it for yourself and for your friends. The best use of the fruit is to throw open the gates of the vineyard and share. Part of the amazing bounty that God gives us. My wife and I lived in the Bay Area for a number of years while I was in seminary. And one of the greatest things about the Bay Area is the wine country. And people would come and visit us, and just out of the blue, we would say, "You know, wouldn't you like to go visit the wine country?" "Why, yes, we would." "Well, it's a burden, but we'll go today." And there you drive right through the gates, and you know what they do? They give wine away. Less now than they used to, trust me. But in a way, isn't that what we are to do with the vineyard that God has planted and nourished? With the Son who has died for us? We fling open the gates of the vineyard so that all may be fed and drink of the vine. God's grace, God's love and God's peace. And so we need to quit hanging on to the grapes and keeping them for our own, but instead find a way to give them out with the same kind of bounteous grace with which we received the fruit. And so when you come this day and you drink of the vine and eat of the bread and body of Christ, know that this free gift given to you is to be given away, that God has thrown open the gates of the vineyard and called the world in. So be fruit. Give it away. Amen.